We're turning tonight to the book of Leviticus and the 14th chapter. Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. We know that God will add his blessing to this reading from his own precious and infallible word. We're going to take a moment to once again seek the Lord and to call upon his name in prayer. Gracious, loving, heavenly Father, we're very conscious tonight of our need. We can see our helplessness, and we confess that without thee we can do nothing. We pray, therefore, for the help of the Holy Ghost, that the Spirit of God will fall upon us, and that the Word of God will go forth in power, and that thy Spirit will apply it to every heart. We thank thee for thy Word. The Word of God converts the soul that lies in sin, and we pray for help even now as we minister in the things of God. So shut us into thyself. Shut out every distraction, and may the Lord Jesus Christ, thy lovely Son, our Savior, have all the praise and the glory, for we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. Having read that portion of Scripture from the Old Testament, we actually turn to the New Testament for our text. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. Though our text is taken from Hebrews, we will be going back again to the book of Leviticus. This verse in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24 reads, And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Tonight, I want to speak to you on the subject, the blood of sprinkling. In the New Testament, there is clear reference to the action of the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. As we might expect, most of those references are in the book of Hebrews, the most familiar verse being found here in chapter 12 and verse 24. In this verse, Christ's blood is described as the blood of sprinkling. The word is also found or used in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. in the phrase that is used there, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The obedience in view is a reference to saving faith. True faith is characterized by obedience. Obedience to the gospel, in which it is revealed that salvation is by the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Therefore, the sinner awakened by the Spirit of God obeys the gospel and rests by faith in the blood of Christ. By faith, he receives the sprinkling of the blood. By faith, he receives the saving merit and the value of the Savior's blood, which is applied to that person who comes and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. The verb to sprinkle literally means to cleanse by sprinkling. To wash or cleanse by sprinkling. Therefore, the application of the merits of Christ's blood is with a view to the cleansing of the sinner and certainly does result in that cleansing of the sinner. Furthermore, this cleansing through the application of Christ's blood, it is twofold. First, there is the once and for all cleansing that constitutes the sinner's justification. And second, there is the constant cleansing that constitutes the sinner's sanctification. In the cleansing of our justification, the penalty of sin is taken away. And in the cleansing of our sanctification, the defilement of sin is removed. Thus, Christ's shedding of his precious blood results in the cleansing of sinners. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 52, and in the verses 13, 14, and 15, you will read these words, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." Verse 14, "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations." In view here is Christ, the servant of Jehovah. But note verse 14, "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." Here is a clear reference to the sufferings of Christ. And then in verse 15, reference is made to his sprinkling many nations. The meaning is clear, isn't it? As a result of Christ's sufferings involving the shedding of his blood, there is the sprinkling of many, many people in many nations of the world, and men and women everywhere under the sun can experience the sprinkling, the application, the cleansing, the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ, removing their sin and drawing them nigh to God. All of these references to the blood of sprinkling in both the Old and New Testaments are based upon the Levitical system instituted by Moses. In the books of Exodus and Leviticus, there are more than 30 references to the sprinkling of blood, and quite a few additional references also in other Old Testament books. Thus, there is no doubt that the language of the New Testament with reference to the sprinkling of blood is borrowed from the Levitical system. One of the most significant ceremonies that involved both the shedding and the sprinkling of blood was the cleansing of the leper. The cleansing of the leper, as recorded here in our Bible reading in Leviticus chapter 14. Leprosy was an actual disease. It was a most horrid disease. Thus, the Lord employed it as a figure of sin. The Lord used it in his teaching concerning sin. As a reminder of the awful workings of sin in the human heart and in the human life, leprosy is a picture of the sinner. The beginnings of leprosy are small. They are almost imperceptible. If you look at chapter 13 and verse 2, you will discover there what it says, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising or a swelling, a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons. Leprosy begins small. It is almost unnoticeable, imperceptible. And so it is with sin. Sin begins very small, and we hardly notice it. And once leprosy has begun to spread, it will spread until it has permeated the entire body. In Luke 5, verse 12, the Lord Jesus Christ met a man who was full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. That is, his entire body was covered. His whole being was affected by this horrid disease. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, we read that from the sole of the foot to unto the head, there is no soundness. There is nothing but wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. What a picture of sin. Sin soon spreads. It defiled every feature of the leper's life. All that he touched was polluted. It debarred him from all society. And by reading in further down in Leviticus 13, we see the drastic effects and the awful outcome of leprosy in a man who catches that disease. In the light of all these details, it is no surprise that it was a disease that no man could cure. It was a disease that no man in the days of Leviticus and in the days of Christ could heal. Rather, the healing of the leper was a miraculous act, a supernatural power. Reading Leviticus 13, it can be seen that there were some who were unaccountably healed, miraculously healed. The point being that the healing of the leper was miraculous, and it took supernatural power to cleanse him from his disease. In relation to the fact of the sinner being cleansed on the basis of Christ's work, we observe three steps which the ceremony in Leviticus 14 follows. First of all, there is the presentation to the priest. Look at verse 2. This shall be the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest. There is the presentation to the priest. And in coming to the priest, the leper portrays a great truth. A great truth that the sinner must present himself to Christ. In Mark 1 and verse 40, we read that there came a leper to Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me whole." And so here we have the leper being presented to Christ. And he's being presented to Christ, aware that he is vile, he is horrid, he must come like the leper in Mark 1, falling down in brokenness before Christ, looking for him, for his mercy, for his cleansing. And as the leper is presented to the priest, you will notice the priest's authority to deal with the leper and to deal with all leprous matters. The priest was appointed by God to deal with the leper. He alone had authority to act as is outlined in this chapter. He alone had the power to deal with the leper. Therefore, Christ only has authority. Christ alone has authority in this great matter of seeking and finding deliverance from sin, finding deliverance for the sinner from the ravages of sin in his life. Only Christ has the authority to deal with sinners. Only Christ has the power to cleanse the sinner. Only Christ has the power to save and to bring the sinner out of his awful state and of corruption and to cleanse him and to make him whiter than snow. The priest's authority to deal with the matter. But look further at the priest's ability to deal with this matter. Verse 3, the priest shall look. The priest in the Old Testament was schooled in the details of leprosy and was equipped to deal with the leper. And in this way, we are shown that no one knows the issues of the soul, its sin, and the gospel remedy better than Christ himself. The priest knew the leper. He knew the dangerous disease that he bore. The priest knew the answer and he knew the remedy. And Jesus Christ, our great high priest, alone knows the sinner through and through, knows his need, knows every detail about him, knows that the gospel alone is the answer to his need. And my dear friend, if you're here tonight and you are a sinner unsaved, let me remind you that Christ knows all about you. And in his knowledge of you, he knows that the gospel alone, applied savingly to your soul, is the only remedy to cleanse you from your sin. Oh, will you not come like the leper in Mark chapter 1, beseeching him that he might cleanse you and that he might make you whole from your sin. Then there is also the priest's accessibility in dealing with this particular matter. Verse 3 makes that clear again. The priest went to meet the leper, made himself accessible and approachable. He went to the leper, for the leper was not permitted into the camp. Again, a clear portrayal of Christ making himself accessible to the sinner. Christ left the camp of glory. He left the mansions above. Man could never get to Christ in heaven. You and I could never make our way to glory. We are barred because of sin. We are locked out because of our iniquity. But Christ left the realms of glory, and he came down into this sin-cursed scene to seek the leprous sinner. Jesus said, "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost." He came to find those who were afar off, to bring the wretched to himself, to bring the defiled, that they might be washed and made whole. In Mark chapter 1 again and verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion upon the leper, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith, "I will, be thou clean." Oh, what compassion! What willingness! Oh, what a Savior is Jesus Christ our Lord, that he willingly left the glories of heaven, stooped down into this world, identified himself with sinners, made a way whereby we can come, and thank God those who come, he will not in any wise cast out. And sinner, if I'm talking to you tonight in this meeting house, without Christ, you're without hope. But thank God you can come into Christ tonight. You can find hope. You can find it in the gospel. And Christ alone is the answer to your need. Christ touched the leper. This is unique to him, our great high priest. Under the Levitical system, the language here would indicate that the Aaronic priest merely looked on the leper, but did not touch him. But Christ touched the leper to convey a number of great gospel truths. Therefore, he identifies with sinners. He took our humanity. He took our form, and he associates with sinners with all their needs. But he remains impeccable, without sin. He remains holy, harmless, and undefiled, though he is associated with sinners. If the priest of the Old Testament had touched the leper, he too would have been defiled. But Christ touched the leper, and he was not defiled. Christ comes into contact with sinful men, but is undefiled by that contact. We read in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 25 concerning the ruler's daughter. The Lord Jesus Christ took her by the hand, and we're told she arose. We read in Luke 7 verse 14 concerning the funeral at Nain. The Lord Jesus Christ met that funeral coming out of the city, and he touched the bier. And the Lord Jesus Christ identified himself with the very sorrows and needs of the people, and he met those needs, and the people were encouraged and blessed. Such is the sinlessness of Christ, that he was not defiled by his identification with sinners, even when he bore our sin on the cross. Yes, God made him to be sin for us, that he who knew no sin bore our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Yes, the Lord laid on him on Calvary our iniquities. Thank God he stood in our place. He was our substitute, and he received the punishment that we ought to have borne. Thank God tonight there is a way back to God, even from the dark paths of sin. And at Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Christ. Not only is there the presentation to the priest, but there is the procedure followed by the priest. If you look at verses 4 to 7, where the procedure for the cleansing of the leper is shown to us and revealed here, there are many details in these verses, but they clearly present the remedy for sin that there is in Christ crucified, Christ risen, and Christ exalted. Notice first, there is the accomplishment of our salvation. Verse 5, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. In the ceremony, two birds were used, of which one was sacrificed, obviously pointing to Christ's death and the accomplishment of salvation for you and for me. This first bird was killed in an earthen vessel. The earthen vessel is the symbol of Christ's humanity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, referring to himself and to his colleagues in this fashion to denote their humanity. They were humans. Christ took upon himself bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. And here we have a symbol of Christ's humanity. This was Christ Jesus the man, suffering and dying in the sinner's stead. He took our humanity, he lived in it, and he offered it up to God as a sacrifice for our sin. Then the first bird was killed over running water. The original Hebrew reads living water, water fresh from a spring, not from a stagnant pool. The living water is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, the living water is denoted as the Holy Spirit. It was in the earthen vessel. Thus the Spirit dwelt in the earthen vessel of the humanity of Christ. And by the Spirit, Christ offered up himself to God as a sacrifice for our sin. And the bird being killed in the earthen vessel over the living water meant that the two streams met, blood and water. And when they pierced the side of Christ as he hung upon the cross, we read in the scriptures that outflowed blood and water. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ took our sorrows and took our sins and bore them on the tree. We read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6, this is he that came by water and by blood. And we rejoice tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ died in our stead. You'll notice also here there is the advocate of our salvation. As we have noted already, the two birds, the first killed and the second remaining alive. Obviously, this is a double type of Christ. Note in verse 6, we see what was done to the living bird. It was dipped in the blood of the sacrifice and also in the running water. Then you'll note the final words of verse 7, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Obviously, the living bird would have flown off into the heavenlies, typifying the risen and living Christ arising and ascending up into heaven to be the advocate of our salvation, to be our great high priest in the glory, to be the one who ever lives to intercede for us. But you'll note that the living bird, having been dipped in the blood and in the water, would have flown off with the marks of such upon its body. An advocate is a representative. Christ, the representative of the sinner, has ascended into heaven, bearing with him the blessed virtue of his work for you and me as sinners. The virtue of his perfect obedience as he lived on earth. The virtue of his atoning death on the basis of his prevailing intercession for his people. Thank God for such a glorious Savior tonight. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. And because he lives, those who are washed in the blood and whose sins are forgiven shall live forevermore. He will hold his righteous ones in everlasting remembrance. And then you'll notice in verse 7, there is the application of our salvation. It reads there, "And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. The vital thing to note is that it was by means of the living bird that the leper was sprinkled with the blood and with the water. In other words, it is the living Christ who saves sinners. The risen Lord, the one who's alive forevermore, and he has power to save, and he has power to cleanse. It is he who brings us nigh to God. Thank God for the merits of the finished work of the cross, for the application of the blood of Christ, and justification and sanctification and salvation are on the merit of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He imparts these to us as we come in faith to him and trust him as our own personal Savior. Sprinkled 7 times, the application of Christ's blood gives the sinner a perfect standing before God. 7 is the number of perfection. And the blood of Christ brings to us a perfect acceptance before God, a perfect standing before him, and a perfect entrance into glory. Praise God for the hope of the believer that one day he will be presented faultless, perfect, before the Father with exceeding joy. All because the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price. All because of his atoning work. And then you'll notice, finally, the pronouncement that was made by the priest. Verse 7 again, "And the priest shall pronounce him clean." This is actually a legal pronouncement. Only Christ has the right to pronounce sinners clean, to pronounce us with a clear standing before God, all who obey the gospel and come to Jesus Christ are pronounced clean, pronounced justified, with a standing before God as if they had never sinned. Oh, I know we sin after we're saved, but in this legal pronouncement, we're pronounced before God as clean, as justified, as those who had never sinned. Will you come? Will you receive it tonight? Will you believe it? Will you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you come to Him? He invites sinners. And He says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There is cleansing in the blood. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Praise God, even for the believer, that blood keeps on cleansing every day from the defilement of sin. Thank God that blood keeps on making us clean. My dear friend, as we close tonight, the gospel invitation is clear. Jesus bids you come. And on hearing the word, and by obeying the word, and coming to Christ, He promises an acceptance, and He will not cast you out. May the Lord help you to come and trust Him even tonight.